Welcome to What is Going Om for New Thought from the Edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello. Tonight we're going to be discussing the science of spirituality. My guest is a true visionary who's been rocking the scientific world with her groundbreaking insights, predictions, and theories, including the black hole principle, which offers a new theory of the universe. A former medical practitioner and bioenergy therapist turned international speaker, Dr. Samantha Lawton is author of the Amazon bestsellers Punk Science and The Genius Groove, and a renowned expert on the science of spirituality and consciousness, looking at quantum physics, string theory, and consciousness and how they relate to mystical experiences. Dr. Manjeet Samantha Lawton, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Sandy. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you again as well. Now, you qualified as a medical doctor from the University of London in 1997 before becoming a medical GP in 2001. And then in 2006, you published your first book, Punk Science, and you've been rocking the scientific world ever since with your revolutionary ideas and concepts. So before we start, I want to know a bit about your journey from medical GP to author and visionary disruptor of old paradigm scientific theories and ideas.
Well, it is a good question, but it actually started when I was in medical school at the University of London. I was actually at the Royal Free Hospital School of Medicine. I have a medical background. My grandfather was a GP, have great aunts are GPs, you know, so everyone expected me to be a doctor as well. And so I went into medical school, and I just got this massive sense that I was in the wrong place. You know, when you're in the right place, but I think you also know when you're in the wrong place. And yeah. So here's my whole life geared up to getting into med school, and hadn't really thought about what was going to happen afterwards. So someone signed me up for a yoga class, and I went along with sort of loose clothes and everything, expecting to do some postures, never done yoga before. And instead we did some sort of chanting and chakra work. And before I knew it, my kundalini was awakened, the sort of spiritual energy, and I felt just totally connected to everything. And that was in my first like few weeks in medical school. So I really went through the whole of med school, you know, still with my love of science, which I've had since, you know, as long as I can remember, really. But also this burgeoning spirituality, you know, I was able to feel energies coming from my hands. I was starting to have visions and psychic experiences. Had to keep all this sort of quiet from my medical colleagues, of course. And I thought, you know what, there must be some science behind this. And at the same time, I was like looking at people like Deepak Chopra and Candace Pert, and really wanting to bring it all together and looking at the cosmology as well. And after a while, I went through all my GP training as well in hospitals. And I just went, you know what, I think I have to do this. I have to write a book that's going to be, you know, really easy to understand, that's going to bring together all of these worlds, the science and the spiritual world, and put it into really easy, you know, rocking language as well. That's, you know, really, really fun, you know, because that's what a lot of people think spirituality has to be very serious, but I think it can be fun too.
Absolutely. Now, I mean, that was a really courageous decision, especially coming from a family of doctors. I mean, how was that received? It couldn't have been as easy as it sounds.
Oh, no, it was quite a rocky road. But you know, when you put your intention on something, the universe starts to revolve around that. And early 2001, I got this strong sense of the name of a book called Punk Science, with a vision of an atom with a safety pin going through it. As you know, British people know, one of the symbols of punk was, you know, safety pins and things like that. And that came very, very clearly. And soon after that, my whole world changed around. My marriage fell apart. I ended up, you know, my ex-husband basically took my spiritual leanings and started to tell my parents, who are both GPs, that I'd gone crazy. They sort of looked at my behavior in that, you know, it was quite unusual, obviously breaking up a marriage. And so they thought, oh, we don't know about all these angels things and things like that. She must have got a bit schizophrenic. So they teamed up with my ex-husband. And before I knew it, I was in a medical council investigation into my mental health. Because, of course, the psychiatry world doesn't know anything about spirituality. They don't think that it's a real experience. And I was only in my 20s, so at that point, I didn't know that the... I'd also trained as a bioenergy healer by this time, so I was actually seeing people in a sort of a clinic part-time as well. So I was having incredible experiences. You know, really multidimensional things were happening. And like you do, you talk to your spouse, don't you? So I was telling my ex-husband from time to time. And so he, little did I know, he'd collated it all as evidence and went into my computer and all sorts of things, took channelings that you and I would think were quite normal. But, you know, in the eyes of the medical council, you know, they saw this as being controlled by voices outside of myself and all of this sort of stuff. So it all got put together, and really for me, it's one of the it's difficult to go to, obviously, but it's also been one of the best things, because I knew deep inside of myself that it was my time to leave, and I am newly qualified GP, but I quit the medical register. I actually asked to be, I struck myself off, basically. And I just knew that this was what I was called to do. And within a year, I had the new theory. And, you know, within a few years after that, published the first book. So it's all been the past, but it's not been not been an easy one. But, you know, you look back and you wouldn't have it any other way, really.
Of course you wouldn't. And, you know, it's not an uncommon story. There are a lot of people who've had spiritual awakenings and been told they've got a mental health issue.
Yes, exactly. And I was lucky enough to speak with the head of, not a lot of people know this, but Prince Charles actually does quite a lot behind the scenes. And one of the things that he did is he set up a spiritual division of the Royal College of Psychiatrists. And I spoke to the president of that. I interviewed him for the book. And I asked him, what's the difference between, you know, a mental illness and spirituality? And he said, well, in a really, you know, broad sense, a mental illness is when it's a problem. And with spirituality, the person is able to function. So, you know, at the time I was having amazing spiritual experiences, but I was going today, every day to work as a GP, kept it all quiet. And I was also a holistic doctor at the Bristol Cancer Help Centre, and also starting to speak around the world. So, you know, I was a totally functioning person and able to distinguish between what is conventional medicine and my bioenergy work and everything. So, and I didn't have a single complaint from anyone either. So, you know, that's a sign of someone who's, you know, it isn't a problem. Their spirituality isn't a problem. Of course, there's lots of doctors who are very spiritually aware. And, you know, it's just kept under the radar, really.
Yeah, how sad. Now, Punk Science has been an Amazon bestseller in both the UK and the USA. I mean, it's inspired a whole generation to understand the links between science and spirituality. And it also showcased your groundbreaking theory called the Black Hole Principle, which explores how black holes are not the great destroyers of the universe, as science thought, but a creative force at every level of the universe. Where do these ideas come from?
Oh, gosh. I've always been fascinated by cosmology and A lot of people in the sciences, British Rubbish World, I think they talk a lot about quantum physics, but very few people talk about cosmology. But that's fascinating me. And when I found myself with a lot of spare time, I started to look into cosmology. Actually, I was doing it all along, but, you know, when I had this sudden loss of my career, my ex-husband was supporting me financially because he'd caused this whole problem. And so I was out walking in the woods one day, and it suddenly came to me how to fit all of this data together that didn't make any sense. Because, you know, we've had these amazing telescopes recently in the last 30, 40 years, and able to look deep into space. And black holes are supposed to be guzzling everything around them, but instead they're finding these bright sort of streams of particles actually coming out of them. And it was then that I had this amazing vision. I was sat on the branch of an oak tree, and I decided to tune into the rotation of the planet. And it was when I did that that suddenly I was, it wasn't exactly a vision, it was more like I was in it. I was actually in the consciousness of the universe itself, and it showed me something in a split second that really the books and books could be written from that split second. And it's made so many predictions in science since then that have come true. And so that really was the basis of how I came to this theory.
Hang on a minute, you said then, I just happened to tune in there. I mean, just like that? You just, you know, oh yeah, I'm just going to tune in up there. I mean, was it really as simple as that?
My healing teacher in Ireland, some people might know him as Michael O'Doherty. He actually treated Michael Flatley, of all people. He had a video of Brian Swim, and he's a scientist that some of you, your listeners may know about in California. And he just showed me, when I was over visiting my healing teacher, he showed me this one bit of this video, and it said, "We never tune in to the rotation of the planet. You know, our planet is rotating all the time, but we never tune into it." For some reason, that day, walking my dog, that's when I decided to tune into the rotation of the planet. And it was from a Brian Swim video. Apparently somebody's told him about it, and he's found it quite amusing that that sparked off such a lot.
I'll have to try that one. So when you did this and you had that split second epiphany, realization, whatever you want, you know, whatever we would call it, what did that do to you?
Gosh, it was like a lot of things made sense. And suddenly I started to realize that you know, all the observations that we're seeing are the other way around. It's actually black holes are creative. And what's happening is, I mean, I couldn't have got this if I wasn't, I don't think I'd have got this if I wasn't a mystic first. So it's all those years of that mystical exploration plus the science interest that came together in that moment. So I realized that really most of the universe is not known to us. It's like that dark energy and dark matter. I don't know if your listeners know, but it's 98% of the universe is unknown to us. So that bit is all the bit that's beyond the speed of light. So I realized that a black hole, what happens is you have the infinity at the center, and light spirals through all the different levels. It comes to the edge of our reality, and it splits into the matter and antimatter. That's the simplest way of explaining it. And that matter goes into forming all of our worlds, and the antimatter goes into something called the mirror world, but that's we'll deal with that another day. And then it breathes again, and the particles recombine, and they form usually sort of some form of radiation. Sometimes it's a gamma ray burst, sometimes it's radio, sometimes it's microwaves, but you get a form of light, and this is what's causing the gamma ray bursts all over the universe that are brilliant. They're not explosions. It's this gentle but powerful breathing process from infinity. And that, when I realised that on the actual day, I also got this strong sense I had to go to sleep. So I came home and I went to sleep. And basically, when I woke up, I was dreaming about an atom and the same process going into an atom. And when I got this, I suddenly realised that I had what's known in physics as the theory of everything. It's the same pattern all the way down. And, you know, just in case anyone's thinking I'm getting a bit arrogant, that's what physicists call it when you unite the very large with the very small. I also got the given the information that even this black hole principle is just a tiny part of how the universe works. Our human minds will never understand the full picture. And, you know, just to keep me humble, I was also shown that even this, is, which is going to be the next step in science, is only a small part of this. It's been the most amazing journey ever since, because this antimatter, this matter coming out, these electrons coming out of the black hole at just lower than the speed of light, because they've only just slowed down to our world. So that's what we see coming out of black holes. We see them everywhere. So it's been the most amazing journey, because I've been able to predict the same pattern at every single level of the universe, including things like thunderstorms, hurricanes. We also see gamma ray bursts, electrons in thunderstorms and hurricanes. We normally call that lightning. Lightning does not happen because there's too much friction in clouds. We can't actually measure enough charge buildup to create lightning. It's the same, and we spotted gamma ray bursts in thunderstorms now. Late 90s, that's what happened. So I've been able to make a few predictions, like spotting antimatter in thunderstorms. That was spotted by NASA in 2011. So this theory, once you know it and you know that it works at every single level, you can start to make predictions. One of them, of course, is that water comes out of black holes, both at the macro and the micro level. And, you know, thunderstorms, also water found on Mars, different planets, even water coming out of sunspots. So once you know the basic principle, it becomes actually quite easy, and you're able to make these predictions. So it's just extremely exciting. Sorry, Con.
It is very exciting, especially me. I'm such a science geek, even though, you know, I'm nowhere in the league of being that knowledgeable about science. But whenever I find something that explains spirituality, you know, that's good enough for me. I want to come back to some of that, because, you know, everything that you've mentioned there, water, all of the other things, diamonds, coal, fossil fuels, there's so much more to this topic that you have to share. We will come back to it a little bit later. First, I want to ask you, I mean, you've spoken at conferences around the world. You've, you know, alongside people like Bruce Lipton and other well-known scientists. You've discussed the black hole principle, international venues, the Institute of Noetic Sciences, in media interviews with Gaia TV, the BBC, Coast to Coast, many more. What do a lot of those scientists that you have been mixing with have to say about this? Coming from somebody who isn't technically a scientist.
It's interesting. It's a very good question, because a lot of people in those worlds that you've described don't know that there's a problem to solve. So a lot of people in our arena, as in the science and spirituality arena, there are scientists involved, obviously, but they don't know what's going on in terms of astrophysics and at that sort of cutting edge. So they don't know that there are findings from the telescopes that are unexplained. So they don't know there's a problem. They don't know that the problem exists that the black hole principle is fixing. I've had amazing responses from around the world, and the amount of people who have no scientific background or anything get it immediately. But those I've had, one of the most wonderful responses was from David Bellamy, who was a scientist on the BBC who just recently passed away. He at first could, he saw one of my lectures, and at first he couldn't believe that it was just me by myself. And he thought I must have a department, you know, behind me. And then he, we were both speakers at the same conference, and he, you know, sought me out and shook my hand and said, well done, well done. So it's lovely to have that sort of response. I think the next level up for this theory is, although I've had wonderful responses from those sorts of worlds, it's not their problem to solve. So I think the next thing that I'm going to do is start to contact the astrophysics world and say, look, you know that oil that you found on Titan, you know that, you know, all of that sort of stuff. I mean, it's been wonderful what's happened so far, you know, giving an explanation for things like chakras, for, you know, looking at, you know, water coming at every level of the universe and, you know, looking at the higher dimensions and, that's just wonderful. But I think, you know, moving into a new era now and, you know, going into the astrophysics world. But, yeah, got wonderful responses. But, you know, as I say, it's kind of almost like it's not their problem to solve. So although it's been great, it's now time to go to the next level, I think.
You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. My guest today is former medical practitioner, turned international speaker, author, and renowned expert on the science of spirituality and consciousness, Dr. Manjeet Samantha Lawson. We'll be back with more from Dr. Samantha Lawson after the break.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Time's flagship radio show, What Is Going On. As a long-time editor, book judge, spiritual magazine publisher and radio host, I've read thousands of books and interviewed hundreds of authors and teachers, so I know what's worth reading and what isn't. Now, with the spiritual book market growing increasingly crowded, more and more people are seeking my help in finding the authentic voices, the empowering tools, and the genuine skip the BS guidance that will make the most difference to their spiritual development. So I decided to make it easier by bringing my knowledge, experience, and considerable network of contacts together in the No BS Spiritual Book Club. There are no ads, no joining fees, no obligations, and no BS. Just an ever-growing library compiled by recognisable and respected names of the 10 best books that help them the most on their journeys. Plus, free book excerpts, audios and live video interviews where you can quiz them about their spiritual journeys and their 10 best list choices. Your time and money are valuable, your spiritual journey even more so. If you're looking for genuine guidance from people who have walked this path before you, check out sedgbeer.com. Click on the No BS Spiritual Book Club tab and join the club. That's sedgbeer.com, sedgbeer.com. I'll see you there.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called the Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family, and then, boom! Everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle to America and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything. I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Dr. Samantha Lawson, you clearly have a gift for taking complicated science and explaining it in such a way that we can see how it relates to us, our lives, our world, and our spiritual journey. And I know that you've helped thousands of people around the world transform their lives using the latest knowledge of black holes and cosmology, quantum physics, string theory, and more. I want to talk about the course that you produced, the Simply Divine course, which is a really easy guide to the science of spirituality, because unlike many courses out there, it really looks absolutely fascinating in some of the topics that it covers. I mean, who would have thought that we could look at the science of consciousness and it would explain to us things like divination, vibration, resonance, tarot, you know, spirit realms, angels, etc. Let's talk a little bit about that and how you conceived that and what people can gain from it.
Gosh, yes. I mean, this is the exciting thing about modern physics and really modern biology as well, which Bruce Lipton is such a proponent of. The more that you look into the weirdness of modern physics, like, you know, a lot of people know about quantum physics already, the idea that reality is different according to the observation, and you know, things connecting at a distance and non-locality. And then you've got string theory, which says that there are many different dimensions to the world. And when you look at these ideas, like a loop quantum gravity is another one, you know, Lee Smolin, who's these are real jobbing physicists, says that the universe is made up of processes, not things, which means that nothing around us is solid. And then, you know, string theory talks about everything being made up of packets of vibration. It's not that different from the eternal knowledge that mystics have been talking about for thousands of years. And you go to any culture of the world and there will be a shaman, there will be a mystic, there will be a medicine woman or man somewhere. And these principles, if you look from a scientific perspective, you go, well, there must be something in this because they are in every culture, in every age. And so there must be something about the, you know, there must be something they're tapping into. So this course looks at how we can translate these sometimes very ancient concepts in terms of modern physics, you know, and then it takes it that next level, looking at the black hole theory, what that can tell us about the law of attraction, what that can tell us about the science of chakras. You know, the science of chakras from a cosmology perspective, I don't think anybody else has really done that before. And, you know, just at every single level, it's broken down with bite-sized video tutorials, exercises. We also have the Conscious Science Club that you've become a member of, where we go live every single month, and there's a forum where you can chat to people. Got all people from all over the world in the Conscious Science Club. And, you know, we meet and discuss, and it's a way where you can find like-minded people as well to help you with the course. So you get that membership with it as well. So if you get stuck, you can ask me directly. And so there's all sorts of ways that you can connect. And there's meditations, exercises, all sorts of things. So it's really, I wanted to create something that was really going to support people on their journey to understand the science behind what they might be experiencing, from galactic activations, angelic experiences, channeling, all those sorts of aspects, and what can be going on from a scientific perspective. So, yeah, I'm really excited to share that with you today.
So can we take a little peek, a sneak preview of some of the topics? Because, you know, they really are quite compelling. I mean, for example, matter, antimatter, and emotions. Tell me what happens with that. What's that all about?
Well, if you remember what I said at when I described the black hole principle, that as the light comes through the dimensions, when it gets to the edge of our reality at the speed of light, which I'm renaming from calling it the event horizon to the perception horizon, because it's the edge of our perceptions in three-dimensional reality, it splits into the matter and the antimatter, and the matter goes into that mirror world, which in you know, in terms of the physics, I think is in the, this is, you know him personally, I know William, Professor William Tiller has been part of the inspiration for this work. So that goes into the sort of C squared world, which is the speed of light squared. And that's a kind of mirror world to our world. And so what we do with emotions is it's kind of like that's the sort of subconscious. And it's when, it's not just myself who's come onto this, actually. John D. Martini talks about the particle aspects. I've put the black hole aspects on. It's when you find something, you have that aha moment, what you're doing is you're combining again the matter and the antimatter into light. That's that aha moment. So you're integrating the shadow self. So it's like the antimatter is the shadow self. And when you go, oh, that's why that happened. Like myself, for example, that's why I went through, you know, a divorce that's like that and everything like that. It's like I integrate it in the moment. I go, oh, right. And that's how the healing process happens. So our lives, too, are like a breathing black hole, a breathing spiral where we go from matter, antimatter seeming separate to them uniting again into light. And that's our aha moment. And then we go through another emotional process and then learn from that. And that's how we go through life and that's how we grow. So it's using these black hole principles to apply to your own life, even your own emotional life. So that's the sort of thing that we take people through.
I mean, there are so many little topics there. I know you do this over 5 months, and each month you've got, you know, I was looking at the topics earlier on your website and thinking, oh, I want to know about that. I want to know about that. I want to know about that one too. One of them that caught my attention was something that we don't normally see, which was the dangers of positive thinking. What dangers are there in positive thinking?
Yes, this is when you understand the black hole principle, you can see that the importance is that you have that integration of the shadow. So what a lot of people will do is, and you know, I'm definitely not the first person to say this, is they will focus on, well, I don't want to look at the shadow. But the shadow is actually the place where the most learning happens. What I'm doing is putting this into the black hole principle framework so you can see why there needs to be balance, because the shadow is, integrating the shadow is a way that we get through to that light burst again. So, you know, when if you think of it as the antimatter and matter just equal and mirror images, and what you're doing with your emotions is you're integrating. You're not lopsided. You're not pushing down those emotions that might be uncomfortable. And, you know, if you did that, you probably know they just pop up again. So what you're doing is you're facing up to them, learning from them and integrating them. And, you know, if you do try and, you know, deny them, they'll just pop up in certain situations anyway, because they have to manifest somewhere. And when you understand that, the universe is one of balance, and balance is present all the time with just two halves of light, then you can start to see how it plays out in your own life and start to understand your own life dynamics better. And it's hugely liberating to have this framework, because you know that there's no regrets in life, because everything in the antimatter region is in the C squared region, which means that time is actually going backwards in that region. So in the big picture, everything cancels out. Everything's in the eternal now. But the way that, you know, but then you've got these two realms. One is with time going forward, which is the one that we experience, and one with time going backwards. And so that's the C squared region. So in that region, the future's already happened, as it were, but it's all complex with this eternal now. We do go into it in great detail in the course, but what it means is it liberates you from the sense of regret, because you know that whatever happens to you was meant to happen at some level, that you're making the choices, but you're making it from your outer space and time level. And so it's there's lots of sort of liberating concepts like that as well. So yeah, I mean, it's looking at all sorts of different levels, from the quantum to the black hole to the string theory, understanding polarities, and you know, keeping away from, I mean, some of the ways that, some of the things that we're taught are based on the quantum physics level. So this is going way beyond that quantum physics level into really, you know, a better understanding of the universe, the black hole understanding. And when you do that, you can see some of the dangers of things like positive thinking and, you know, how the law of attraction really operates.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask you about that one, because that's something that, you know, a lot of people have been led to believe, you know, with the success of The Secret, that they have a right to abundance and that they can attract everything. And then when they don't, or they're attracting just the opposite, they get very dejected and disappointed. What can the black hole principle tell us about the law of attraction?
Well, once you know that the universe in this constant dynamic of awareness, really, because, you know, ultimately, everything's already happened. Everything is in the eternal now. So what you're doing and what you call your own reality is you're seeing things from the matter perspective. But there's also the antimatter perspective. There's also the eternal now perspective. From the eternal now perspective, that's where you really create. That's what you really manifest. And we both know, you introduced me to a guy called Story Waters. I love it when he says, "You are God, get over it." I think that's just fantastic. You know, when Story says, "You've already manifested everything in your life," what I'm saying from a black hole perspective is, from your eternal now, from the light perspective that has no space or time, you created, and you are creating all the time, the things that go into your C and C squared timeline. So it's not your ego that's manifesting, it's your eternal self. And once you realize that, you can then surrender, which doesn't mean give up, but it means surrender and flow with what your higher self has already decided for you. So it doesn't mean that you sit there and do nothing. It means you tune in, going, okay, where is my flow now? You know, where do I feel that my higher self is taking me? Where is the flow going? And, you know, before I discovered it, I wrote all this, and then I realized there's an ancient system that it's called Taoism, which describes exactly that, and I didn't even know about it at the time. So once you start to get into this, it's not my ego that's manifesting, it's not the C self or the C squared self, although that can work for a while just so that you get the hang of it. Exactly what you're saying, people start to get into this difficulty because you're meant to get into that difficulty because you're meant to learn the next stage, and the next stage is surrender to the higher self. And it's your own self, but at a different level of you, a different dimension, that's actually doing the manifestation. And so it may not be, you know, instant Mercedes at the door right now, but I mean, it could be the best lessons that you need to learn for your soul to grow. And so people might not want to hear that from their ego, but you look back at your life and you go, yes, that is actually how things happen. You know, if that hadn't happened, then that wouldn't have happened, and I wouldn't have learned from that. So that's a real treasure that we learn in our lives. And so from the black hole perspective, we can understand the law of attraction at a deeper level.
Right. Well, we have to go to break in about 2 minutes. Before we do, there is one that I just have to ask you about, because it just made me smile when I read it. The God Blob and Other Stories. Tell me a little bit about the God Blob.
That comes from a vision that I had where I saw all the souls that make up humanity come down through the dimensions as a big silver blob. So I call that the God Blob. And interestingly, so that basically is a module about twin rays and twin flames and how we're all related to each other. But originally, we all start out as a God Blob.
Oh, that's a great title. Love it. It really does make you think, what could that be about? You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with award-winning author, international and renowned expert on the science of spirituality and consciousness, Dr. Menjia Samantha Lawson. whose groundbreaking theory of black holes offers us a new way to understand the cosmos, Earth, thunderstorms, lightning, our chakras, our spiritual journeys, and even consciousness itself. We'll be back with more after the break.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Dr. Manjusha Mentor-Lawson, you've been ahead of your peers in your visionary understanding of black holes for more than a decade. And your research has led to the understanding that, contrary to what everybody thought, they are not the great destroyers of the universe, sucking everything into them, but actually they're a creative force. So it's more of an output than an input, I would say. And that they create all kinds of things, water, diamonds, fossil fuels, methane, coal, and so much more. So let's talk about that now. I really don't know where to start because it is such a vast subject, and I've watched your videos and interviews, and there is so much to talk about. What's your favorite place to start with this?
Oh, gosh. I think let's look at the water first off. I did say a little bit before that when I realized that thunderstorms were also showing these black hole principle behaviors, I thought, well, the only thing that would make sense, if it, you know, the way that it would all make sense is if black holes produce water. I thought, yeah, you know, everyone's going to think I've really lost it then. And I told a few people and I would speak about it, but I actually didn't put it into the book at first. Then later on, around 2011, scientists found the biggest body of water ever found in deep space. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, galaxy level sort of reservoir of water here. And what they're finding is they are indeed seeing water being ejected from black holes. And then I thought, well, it must be at every single level, from ejected from stars, ejected from planets, and that is exactly what we're finding. We're finding stars giving off water bullets. We're finding water on all sorts of planets, even moons. So it's happening at every single level. And, you know, if you bring it down to the chakra level and the cellular level, we do produce water within our bodies, and we call it metabolic water, but could it be this black hole principle process as well? So that was one of the things. And, of course, the water of the planet, our own planet Earth, we've always wondered how we have these massive oceans. You know, was it brought by an asteroid? About 7 months after I announced in IONS that, you know, I was predicting that it's actually coming from the center of the planet, scientists did indeed find a reservoir of water deep to the interior of the planet. So they found vast oceans actually into the interior. And, you know, we see this in volcanoes. Volcanoes actually give off water vapor. So you're seeing the same sort of pattern going all the way down. The fossil fuel thing, very radical. But, you know, I just started to realize that oil and these craters are sort of like asteroid craters are quite associated with each other. And I thought, I wonder why there isn't an asteroid or any sign of an asteroid in that crater. We're told that we're, you know, they evaporate or something. Like, for example, the Gulf of Mexico, lots of oil there. And I thought, I wonder if oil and fossil fuels are actually created by a black hole principle process. I thought the only way that would make sense is if there's oil being found in the rest of the solar system. And indeed there is. There's tons of reservoirs of oil on the moon Titan. There's oil, crude oil being found on Mars. And there's coal even coming out of stars. Coal is, you know, hydrocarbons and coal actually cover comets, which is why we call them dirty snowballs. They're both producing coal and they're producing water and spinning around as they do. So we've got this, you know, this fossil fuels that we're told are these things that are produced by ancient sea life or ancient forests. What are they doing coming out of stars? It makes no sense, you know. So we've got to rethink. And I keep saying you only need one anomaly in science to realize that you've got the whole thing, you know, maybe wrong. And that once you find oil and coal in space, you've got to start thinking, well, maybe coal and oil isn't made in that way. And one of the most important books, you talk about books that change your life, is a book called The Deep Hot Biosphere by a scientist called Thomas Gold, who's passed away a few years ago. Physicist, you know, professor, everything, very well decorated. And he has written an excellent book. It's readable if you're not a scientist, but it is a little bit technical. But it's written an excellent explanation about how fossil fuels must be coming from the depths of the earth, from the bottom up, not from the top down. And it's an absolutely fantastic book. One of those is that when you find so-called fossil fuels, you find the coal, the oil, and helium often are associated with each other. So helium has got nothing to do with biological processes. So, you know, all of these things, he's done an excellent job. He also pointed out the massive deep funnels that where diamonds are found. And that's when I went, oh, my goodness, could diamonds also be produced by black holes? And indeed, diamonds are found all over space. It even rains diamonds on Neptune and places like that. So it's a lot to go into. And everything I've said there, I mean, you could do a PhD on each subject. So it's a lot. But, you know, this is the radical rethink. And I'm not saying we carry on burning fossil fuels. There are other problems associated, even if you don't believe that CO2 is causing climate change. There are other problems associated with burning them, but it does definitely give us some possibilities as to space exploration. You know, what if we were to hop, you know, from moon to moon and planet to planet and use the oil and the coal that we find there to fuel us to the next? Who knows?
Well, you know, that's really interesting because I recently revisited a book I'd read some years ago and done an interview with the author on Nick Redfern's Bloodline of the Gods. And he was talking about, you know, Zechariah Sitchin's work and the Enki and Enlil and the people that came here and basically seeded the human race as it exists today, I think. And their purpose in coming here was to mine for gold because they had run out on their planet. I mean, isn't it interesting to think, okay, maybe if that was true, one day we are going to be doing exactly what they did and going to another planet to mine for diamonds.
It's true. I mean, people, honestly, it's amazing. It's never something I never thought I'd be interested in, but space mining companies are springing up all over the place, and people are interested in going to going onto asteroids especially and mining for asteroids and working out if it's going to be economically feasible, of course. But why they're there is what I'm interested in. How are these things created if they're supposed to be fossils? If they're supposed to be, if diamonds are compressed coal, then, you know, how are they yeah. in microdiamonds present in stars? There's even a star out in space whose entire heart, his entire center is diamond. So, you know, we're seeing the evidence all over the place. And I don't know what humanity is going to do with this information. But, you know, you never know. This is just to provide the evidence and the theoretical basis for how they're being created in the first place.
I'm interested water coming from black holes. You know, we hear so much about there being droughts in Australia and severe water shortages in places like South Africa. How does this theory change the outlook for, you know, we're going to run out of water?
Well, it, you know, depending on what the central black hole of the planet does, is where our water is coming from, basically. And, you know, the black holes, as I said, thunderstorms are little black holes. We know this. They're creating gamma ray bursts, just like gamma ray bursts out in space. So basically, it's dependent on this breathing pattern, this breathing process. And sometimes it goes, you know, it takes a kind of quantum leap, and then we get the biblical flood. And we get this huge, if you read your Bible, it actually does say water just, it wasn't just a lot of rain, it also came up from the ground as well. So we get things like the biblical flood all of a sudden, which is probably a big shift in consciousness happening, and that caused the flood. And sometimes we won't get as much being created. And the breathing pattern of all black holes at every single level looks quite random to us. We can't predict it. So that's why I just did a video just the other day about the galactic lightning. They've looked into a black hole and they've seen sort of gamma ray bursts in the form of sort of like lightning. And they don't understand why it just absolutely increases over just 5 minutes. It'll massively increase and then go down again. To us, it looks like random patterns. So water, in its natural production, is just at the, we're at the mercy of this sort of flow pattern, basically. But there may be some technology that we can harness in the future where we can tap into the black hole principle and produce water in places where it's needed.
Well, that would be interesting. There's one thing you mentioned earlier about sunspots. For the last probably 10 years, or certainly not recently, but before that, I was watching spaceweather.com, and I was counting the fact that there were so many more coronal mass ejections, you know, bigger ones, more sunspot activity in that period. And each year they seemed to grow and grow and expand. I don't know what it is of, you know, today. I haven't looked at it lately, but I wonder why, you know, is there a connection between the black holes and the fact that we saw this massive increase? And what would the point of that be?
Yeah, it's interesting because the sun in its last cycle started behaving quite differently, didn't it? And nobody really knows why. But yes, the sun, stars, you know, in all stars as well, they show this black hole principle behavior. The intermittent ejections, the matter and antimatter and light cycling in the sun, we see it in electrons and X-rays and things like that, but we also see neutrinos, antineutrinos. So the sunspots are sort of black holes on black holes, as it were, because it's a fractal all the way down, and that's where the ejections are concentrated. But what the difference in patterns is, even I can't predict. You know, it's not something, I feel like it's the underlying changes in the ultimate consciousness, like as Amit Goswami calls it, the ground of all being. You know, those are his conclusions from quantum physics, not from, you know, as you know, he's a quantum physicist. So, you know, as that ground of all being shifts, it sends every single breathing black hole one way and then the other, and we're all connected to each other. Every single infinity at the center of that blood cold principle process is the same infinity. Everything is connected. So we may think we're insignificant, but every single one of our black hole, little black holes all over us, from our atoms to our quarks and everything, are breathing in and out. And, you know, the breath of one is affecting something across the universe. Everything is connected. And so what seems to us is a random pattern is this interconnected universe. So, yeah, I don't know exactly why these patterns change. I don't think anybody does. One day, maybe we will find out. But at the moment, all we can do is observe it and realize that this is the changing pattern of the breathing black holes all over the cosmos. So you can see, even though this theory is, you know, a new step, there's still so much to work out. And, you know, I'm the first to say that there's certain things that we don't know that we have to fill in from a physical perspective. And also, you know, it also brings up questions, like you say, from a deeper perspective. Why do the sunspots change their pattern all of a sudden? And that affects our weather too. And, you know, this concept that of the, like, aurora borealis, and things like that's actually a bipolar jet. That's how we most commonly see the black hole principle in work. So we can see, even on our own planet, this bipolar jet pattern of charged particles intermittently coming out. We call those the auroras of the planet. And whenever there's a north one, there's also a south one. So, you know, we can start to see our weather patterns and our climate very differently. As I said earlier, there's I was the only person to predict that hurricanes would have gamma ray bursts in them, antimatter in the form of lightning and gamma ray bursts. So this has huge implications for understanding our sun, understanding climate change, understanding volcanoes, earthquakes, everything.
I think it's wonderful that we appear to be, you know, as everybody says, consciousness is rising on the planet. You can feel it. And it feels like we are on the threshold of a whole new era of exploration and understanding. Before we bring the show to a close, I want to talk briefly about a couple of things. One is that you have just launched Punk Science TV, and you're really focusing on astrophysics. Tell us a little bit about that. And then tell us about the offer that you've got for our listeners for your Simply Divine course.
Well, fantastic. Well, Punk Science TV is going live every Wednesday for morning UK time, but you can see that on the replay as well. And that is on my Facebook page. So that's facebook.com/punkscience, I think. And so that's all one word. And so if you want to catch it there, it also is being sent out to my YouTube channel, which is Punk Science as well. And that's basically where I'm breaking down all this astrophysics in the run-up to the Punk Science movie, which is in post-production, which we'll be releasing as soon as we can. And we're interviewed everyone from Amit Goswami, Joe Dispenza. And the offer for your listeners, a special offer created to you. I'm going to run it all this year just in case people haven't caught up with this episode. So if you go to drmanjia.com/SD for Simply Divine, so drmanjir.com/SD, and go through, read some more about the course, go through to the checkout page. On the checkout page, if you put the code OMTIME, so OMTIMES, into the checkout form, you get 25% off. So that's just for your listeners, Sandy. And that's going to be good for the whole of 2020 when people get a chance to listen to this. And look forward to seeing you in Simply Divine. You can either get it all at once or spread it over 6 months and, you know, choose whatever currency you want to buy that in as well. And so look forward to seeing people from the show on the Conscious Science Club as well inside our monthly meetings.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for starting that, you know, that science club. I think it's something that's badly needed. People do want community, especially as they're going through growth and exploration. Dr. Manjia Samantha Lawton, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
And you can learn more about Dr. Samantha Lawton's books and courses at paradigmrevolution.com. And I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. Thank you for joining me today. And I look forward to being with you again at the same time next week. Until then, goodbye.